Think and concentrate and meditate on what God has done for you. How has he been faithful in your life? And I bet if you just give it a few moments of time, you're not going to have any shortage of things to thank God for, to give him praise for. And I bet if we focus on those things and we remember those things, that's going to stir us up. That's going to build us up. That's going to remind us. And you know what? Sometimes, you know, a lot of times we just need to be reminded. Okay? So I want to share a few scriptures with you guys this morning. Psalm 100. If you turn there with me, Psalm chapter 100, verse 4. And, you know, I have a few things that I want to share with you guys, encourage us with, things that we should be doing that's going to help us out. And that's going to give, put our hearts back on our God, put our hearts in the right place, focus on our Creator, and to give him the praise that he deserves. Psalms 100, verse 4 says this, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." Okay, and that was, you know, a psalm. And, you know, like if we take a look through the life of King David, he's got things that has happened that challenged him, that were hurtful to him. You know, that there's times when, man, reading through the psalms is like, my goodness, one moment David's like, God, why have you forsaken me? God, why are my enemies surround me? Why am I overcome? And then, like, the next minute, he's doing this. He's giving God praise. Okay, so even if we're in a moment of desperation, a moment of tragedy, a moment of mourning or grieving, okay, that does not change who God is. That does not change what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's going to continue to do for you. Okay, so one of the best things we can do is grab a hold of those things that we can be thankful to God for. Okay? So, number one, I want to say to you guys, do it willingly. Okay, in the book of Leviticus, I'm just going to read this to you guys real quick. Chapter 22, verse 29. It says, "When you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will." How many of you guys have had kids, nieces, nephews, grandkids? Maybe you work with kids, and you got to, like, drag a kid by its collar. All right, apologize, and mean it. I do this to my boys sometimes. I'm like, you better apologize. They're like, sorry. I'm like, you know, you didn't mean that at all. You know, now I am forcing them to do something. It's not really being done on their own free will. I'm just trying to get them in the habit, in the frame of mind, and hopefully eventually in the heart, you know, state of their heart, so when they mess up, to go and apologize or to go and ask for forgiveness. Okay, but at times I got to make them do it. Okay, now it shouldn't be that God takes us by the collar like we're his little bratty kids. And, all right, tell me you're thankful. That should be something that we're just longing to do. That when we spend those moments when we think about what God has done for us, we're running to our Father. Thank you so much. You've been so good to me. You've been so faithful. You've loved me. You've been patient with me. I've forsaken you so many times, but you welcome me back every time. You know, we can go on and on and on, okay? But do it willingly. Give thanksgiving to God on a daily basis, and don't make the Holy Spirit grab you by the collar and say, you need to say thank you. We need to do this on our own because it's in our heart. We have the attitude of gratitude. Do it every day in good times and bad. Now, I know a lot of times we focus on, well, we got to especially do this whenever things aren't going good. But I don't think that that's all the way there. I think we need to have it both ways. Okay, we need to have our cake and eat it too. Actually, God gets to have his cake and he gets to eat it too. Whether we're in a good moment of our life or whether we're in a bad moment of our life, that doesn't change the thanks that we give to God. We're constantly giving thanks to God. Okay, because you know what? That can change in a moment of time. You could be having a great day, and something happens, and all of a sudden, it's a bad day. All of a sudden, it's a bad moment. It's a bad hour, and then, you know, that can change on our willingness to give thanks to God. It can't be contingent on circumstance. It has to be on the nature of God and who he is, all right? So whether it's a good day or a bad day, you know, I try, you know, sometimes it can be easier to give thanks to God when things are good. Oh, wow, this is a great blessing. Thank you so much. Okay? I was blessed with this watch. Every time I put it on, I can be like, God, thank you so much for this. And you know, and there are times whenever I'm having a rough day, and I look to see what time it was, and the Holy Spirit kind of gently, hey, you remember that? Yeah, I did that for you. And you know what? I'll probably do something like that again, because that's who I am. You know, so then it gets me out of my whining and my complaining and my grumbling, and it gets me into an attitude of gratitude. Okay? So we do it every day. Okay, now, I know that there are real life challenges that they don't just take a moment or a day or a week or even a month sometime to get through. Some seasons, some challenges, some tragedies, some things that you're mourning or grieving or some processes that you're going through take a little while longer. And you know what? That's okay. God's patient. And most of the time it's God's working us through or helping us through something that's going to grow us, going to mature us, going to actually strengthen our faith. Okay, I remember I was a freshman in high school. I had a best friend. And there was an accident that took place on the school property that I was there and slipped and he hit his head off of a vehicle onto the stones and had like swelling in his brain. Eventually he went brain dead and eventually he passed away. And, you know, I'm 14 years old. You know, I'm trying to be strong in my faith, trying to grow in my faith, wrestling with why something like this would happen. You know, like all through the different things, all through the different processes leading up to it, all the moments in time, maybe I could have said something and done something more different to maybe influence a different outcome. And it's natural to go through that, but that's not going to change anything. And honestly, it wasn't until like I was wrestling with it, struggling with it, and it was a couple months. You know, of course, you know, I'm 14. I don't know how to grieve something like that. You know, I don't know how to go through that process, you know, and I got people trying to help me out. But, you know, you look back on it, it's like, man, I probably could have done this or I probably could have done that to help myself process everything. But one thing I did do, and I knew there was a breakthrough instantly I did it. There were times where I just kept praying, and there was a particular moment in time where I was praying, and I just started giving thanks to God, thanking him for the time that I did have with my friend, thanking him for the opportunity to impact him and for him to impact me, thanking God for the family relationships, you know, that we all had, thanking God for how I still have him to bring me through, to walk with me. I'm not alone. Thanking God for what the plan and the purpose was still before me and my life and other people's lives that were involved. And so once I pressed in and I did that, remember I did that for like half hour, 45 minutes, and it was like physically exhausting. And I was like bawling my eyes out till I had nothing left to cry, but I was just giving thanks to God and worshiping him. And I got a breakthrough in that moment. Now, it wasn't just because of that one moment in time. It was all the things leading up to it. But the thanksgiving was a key part in doing that and bringing breakthrough. You know, the Bible talks about how David stirred himself up. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Part of that is giving thanks to God. That all starts with worship, which is giving thanks to our Heavenly Father. Okay? So we need to do it every day in good times and bad. If you turn with me to Psalm chapter 9, verse 1. Next thing is to tell others of your thankfulness. I know as we like to tell people about all kinds of different stuff. We tell them about funny stories that we've experienced. We tell them about challenges at work. We tell people, you know, about sports, about things we're interested in. You know, and there are times when it helps us, it makes us feel better to talk about a situation, tell somebody about what happened. Can you believe this? You know. And maybe just to get something off of our chest. But guys, God wants us to tell others of our thankfulness. Psalm 9, 1 says this, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of your marvelous works. Now, in our season of Thanksgiving that we're in, we're going to just officially call it that. Sorry for the Christmas people. But and with our attitude of gratitude, how much more of a difference would it make if we would not just, we need to communicate that with God. We need to be praising God, thanking God. Absolutely, that comes first. But then we'd tell other people, hey, Philip, you'll never believe, man, what God did for me. You know, I'm so thankful that God has loved me when I've been unlovable. I'm so thankful that God broke through and he brought me this blessing. He brought me provision. Brandon, I tell you what, man, I was praying about this and God heard my prayer and he answered. And I start telling people about what God has done, about his marvelous works, and giving thanks to God out loud to other people. Now we're taking it to a whole nother level, because you're not just doing something for yourself, okay? Because the Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Okay, we have to speak when we get saved. We have to believe in our heart, and we have to confess with our mouth. So what your spoken word does is it creates, it moves things in the supernatural, okay? And it moves things inside your own heart. It shifts your thinking, okay? I can guarantee you start speaking what God has done out loud, it's going to shift the atmosphere around you, okay? And it's not going to be just for your benefit, okay? Because, that, you know, God, when he does something, it's not just singular. It's compound. There's many things that he does at one time, because that's God, and that's what he can do. Okay, you're speaking of God's marvelous works to give thanks to God, to stir yourself up, to remind yourself, to stir your faith, but then you do that for the people around you. Okay? And there are times when sometimes it might bring conviction to somebody. Like, oh, Lord, I've been whining. I've been moaning. Man, this guy is really thankful. And you know, God's done some of those same things for me. And all of a sudden, that conviction, that godly sorrow will bring repentance and stir someone else to give thanks to God. Put them up into an attitude of gratitude to change their situation. Okay, you don't just do it for yourself. You do it for those that are around you. Other people need to hear your testimony. You know, like I was talking with Logan the other day, and I'd heard bits and pieces of this previously. The testimony of how God used Shane in Logan's life to share the gospel, and Shane would literally put his life on the line. Okay, that's not a joke, man. Okay, to share the gospel with Logan and invite him to church. And you know what, man, that just reminded me, like, and to see where these guys are at, you know, now, what God is doing, you know, just hearing that stirred something up in me. Like, man, how many times are we going to say something that's going to impact somebody's life for eternity? You know, you have an opportunity to tell of God's marvelous works, and that is going to touch somebody's heart. And you know what? It wasn't Shane just did it one time. He did it several times, okay, under threats, under persecution, okay? And so even if you do it just once and be like, well, I just did what God wanted me to do. We're running out here as quick as possible. No, we got to keep going back and keep being thankful and keep telling him God's marvelous works. Keep sharing God's provision, his mercy, his grace, his love with those around us. Be thankful continually and tell of that. And you are going to make an impact and a difference in the people's lives around you. You never know what you might just say that is that water on that seed that causes it to sprout and to bring forth that harvest. Okay? So don't ever underestimate God's ability to use your thankfulness to impact those around you, to bring someone else into the kingdom, to bring someone up out of a challenging situation, to turn their attitude around. Okay? God can use us, and he will use us to do those kinds of things. Okay. So, guys, we got to do it when it hurts. Everybody say, do it when it hurts. Make sure you guys are still with me. Do it when it hurts. Psalm 116:7. Okay, and it says this. Again, this goes back to in the good times and the bad. When we feel like it, when we don't. I have the opportunity right now at my new job at the school that I'm at. I volunteered to be a weight room supervisor a couple of days out of the week. You know, I get a chance to work out a little myself. I get a chance to help young people, you know, weight training, all that stuff. And It's reminded me of a great man of God. I'll call him Coach Mike. He used to be involved in children's ministry over in the Bakken's campus. He was my midget football coach. Best coach I ever had. It was such an amazing dynamic. I mean, that guy can praise Jesus, and he can get kids to praise Jesus. He has an anointing on him, and he's powerful, and it's so much fun. And we're doing that in children's church on Sunday morning, and then Monday night at football practice, I'm running my guts out, and this guy's yelling at me, and I'm just like, what happened? You know, like, what is going on here? But he had this way of being able to challenge you. Okay, he had this saying, when the body says no, that's when I go. I'll say it one more time. When the body says no, that's when I go. And then after I got out of being coached by him, you know, I would talk with him, and yeah, I always tried to implement spiritual principles as I was coaching. Okay? You know, so when the body says no, that's when I go. Most often when your flesh says no, that's exactly when you should go into the spiritual things of God, especially when your flesh says no, like, I want to complain, I want to grumble, I want to have a bad attitude, I don't want to thank God right now. That's the last thing your flesh feels like doing, whether it's a bad day, whether you're hurt, whether you're broken, whether a tragedy has occurred, or whether you're just like down and out or just don't feel like it that day. When your flesh says no, that's when you go. That's when you press in and you give thanks to God. You got to do it when it hurts. Okay? You know, if you know anything about weight training and, you know, building muscle, that's when you're going to build faith. When you're going to press in, you're going to do some things when it hurts. That's when you're going to build that muscle of faith in a greater capacity. Okay? And you'll be surprised at how much quickly God moves. Okay? You know, because sometimes we stay in places for a longer amount of time than what we need to, because we don't give thanks, because we don't change our attitude, and we don't change what we're saying and what we're doing to line up with God's word. Okay? So, we got to do it when it hurts. Now, do it as a church and on your own. Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, chapter 12. And I thought this was important, you know, because as a church, you know, we're going through kind of a unique season, but God is faithful. And God has seen us through. Okay? And it says in Nehemiah 12, verse 27. Now, this is the dedication of the wall. You remember the story of Nehemiah? He gets the ability to go back and to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. You know, and this is where we get the verse in this book about the joy of the Lord is our strength. And this is where these guys are, you know, building with one hand and defending with the other hand, and some great things come out of this situation. They've made it through being attacked, being, you know, challenged, and they've overcome. And so this is what they do to dedicate this wall. And it says this in Nehemiah 12, 27. Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites and other places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and singing with cymbals and strings, instruments, and harps. I'm like, amen. The drums are in the Bible. The guitar, I guess we can call the piano like the modern day harp. You know, I mean, we got instruments in the Bible. We're doing this. We're coming together. We're celebrating. We're being thankful. We're dedicating, you know, something that we've built or something that God has done, how he's brought us through, how he's brought us to this place. As a church, we get to come together every Sunday morning, every Thursday night, and we get to sing praise, we get to celebrate, we get to worship God on all these instruments, we get to spend time together doing this, okay? So again, don't ever underestimate your ability when you're speaking thanksgiving, when you're singing praises. And that was one of the greatest things. Most of the time, I don't get a chance to hear you guys sing, okay? I guess maybe sometimes that's a good thing. But most of the time, it's kind of a bummer because I know you guys are out here singing your hearts out. You're worshiping God with all you got. And I can't hear the voices that well behind that cage with things in my ears and with drums going and stuff like that. So when I walked out here to pray, and I could hear you guys singing out to God. I mean, that encouraged me. That stirred me. You know, I was nervous coming out here today. You know, when you find out last night, this morning it was really confirmed, but last night, you know, on a short notice, which is fine. Bible calls us to be instant and to be ready in season, okay? but man, you guys don't know how much that encouraged me. Like, I've heard Pastor Gina and Linda and Logan, these guys talk about that. And I see why, you know, it's a responsive thing sometimes. So I got a chance to hear that today. You know, and I appreciate that from you guys. And you know what? More so than that, God is moved. His heart is blessed. And you guys are doing things in the realm up in the heavenlies that are setting forth things in motion that will bring breakthrough, that will bring blessing, that will bring the hand of God down upon you on that situation. Okay? So we have to do this Thanksgiving as a church and on our own. And the last thing is, this is key, to continue in it. Okay, I started off with saying that we should be in a season of Thanksgiving. Okay, now, the day after Thanksgiving, we have what we call Black Friday, right? And so we go from being thankful to God, breaking bread with one another and fellowshipping, to throwing elbows. And they're like, I'm going to be the first in line. No, I'm, you know, to going out and to shopping like wild people. Buying up all the stuff we can get the very next day. Now, I've been out on Black Friday. I'm not condemning that. I'm not saying anything about that. Depending on your attitude and your approach, it can be some fun, okay? It's for some people. It's not for others, you know. But the point is that we have to continue in our season, in our moments of Thanksgiving, okay? You know, the world, we're like, oh, we're thankful one day. The next day, we're, you know, going crazy, going after material stuff. Okay? You know, we as Christians, as the body of Christ, as a church, should not be that far up and down in our walk with Christ. We should be continually, steadily approaching the throne and giving thanks to God. We have to continue in this each and every day. Now, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, last scripture. Turn over to the New Testament. Colossians 4. You know, whenever I'm turning in the scriptures, I like feel a little pressure. I'm like, what happens if I get lost and I can't find it? Then they're going to think, no, I got it. Colossians 4, 2 says this. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. How many times in God's word do we see whatever it is that you're doing, you know, it's challenging us to do it with thanksgiving. We're continuing in prayer. Vigilant. That means we're not easily moved. That means we're fighting fiercely in prayer and the things of God. And we do it with thanksgiving. It's not just like the cherry on top. It's not just like the whipped cream on top of the pumpkin pie. It's not just...